Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Matt Damon!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 47.
48.
For August 14th, 2013. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like the Spanish Announce Table, The Real Mother Effing News, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get into this week's panel, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, don't be shy. Send us an email, oldschoolmovies2 at gmail.com, or you can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies, D-O-T-net. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. We got to start with Heavyset.
Alzi.
We got Kebo Trek.
Aloha.
We've got Will.
Thanks for having me.
We've got Gallifrey.
I was going to imitate her by going, hi guys, but she's here, but she's just busy at the moment.
We've got Gallifrey very soon, and last and certainly least, Mr. Carr.
You're a fucker.
All right.
By the way, it's a good thing that our mics were muted when you put the intro. I laughed so hard.
I know. I thought someone would break character there.
Where's that from again?
It's from Team America.
Team America, when? World Police. Freedom
Matt
isn't.
Damon.
When does this happen, though, in the movie?
The entire movie.
It's as soon as Fag gets introduced, the Film Actors Guild.
Oh, okay.
It's about four times. You definitely have to check it out. Hmm. All right, let's get into the news.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Our six news stories for this week. Latest Batman rumors involve Bale and Bloom. Kevin is it Feige?
Feige. It's Faggy, guys.
It's Kevin really?
Faggy. Yes, it's Faggy. It's really Faggy. I'm serious.
All right. Kevin Faggy, Marvel's movies are planned out through 2021. Stallone confirms Mel Gibson and Antonio Banderas for Expendables 3. Pixar is altering the end of Finding Dory after Blackfish documentary fallout. Disney denying Jerry Bruckheimer's final cut privileges on Pirates 5. And our last news story, a must-watch trailer for George Clooney's Monuments Men. Heavy set. I know I gave you plenty of time to research this again this week, about 30 seconds again. But what would you like to discuss?
Actually, I think it was 31 seconds, so I'll give you a little bit of slack there.
There we go.
But I'm actually going to go with the Pixar alternating the end of Finding Dory after the Blackfish documentary fallout.
All right, so are you sure you speak whale? Very interesting story from the New York Times Arts Beat blog today about one of this year's breakout documentaries and the impact it's already having on our society. Blackfish is a doc from director Gabriella Carverweight, which opens the book on SeaWorld and the mistreatment of orca whales that they keep in captivity. The article, the guy mentions that they saw the doc this week and found it was very powerful. So basically what's going on is because of what happened in this movie, this documentary, they're actually going to change the ending of a Pixar movie, I guess, to be more sensitive towards what happened. This is kind of the first time I've ever heard of this. I know movies have kind of changed because of events that have happened, news stories of shootings and stuff, but this is the first time I've ever seen a documentary change the outcome of another movie heavy. What do you think about this?
This really caught my attention because recently, probably about a month or so ago, my girlfriend and her mom and sister all went to New York. And during the time, my girlfriend and her sister were sitting together, and her sister had just came back from California. She's been out there for a while. And she's pretty much a big person on animal rights. She's works at a veterinarian clinic and kind of has that schooling background and everything. Well, she started talking to my girlfriend about this movie. And ever since then, like, my girlfriend, I think she's gonna go watch the documentary here soon. I know that, but she did a lot of research on the movie and what it's about. And, like, this has, like, changed her mind even on SeaWorld because it puts a bad light on a lot of places like this. And like this just caught my attention with that going on and kind of them changing it so like a year before it comes out, because I believe it's supposed to come out next year. And or no, 2015, so that's a couple of years. So still, it makes me wonder what the actual ending is going to be. What was the plan to be? And I'm wondering if this is just the beginning of a backlash. I think it could have the same impact as Super Size Me did, where after it came out, there was a bunch of things that like a lot of places changed. A lot of like fast food places, especially McDonald's, like got rid of that other Super Size. So I could see a lot of places, SeaWorld cracking down on, and other places cracking down on what they're going to do. And the fact that Disney and Pixar are doing this, I applaud them.
Yeah, no, and I think it's great that a documentary brings attention to something very important. You know, Fahrenheit 9/11, a lot of Michael Moore docs, although very one-sided, do bring up a lot of interesting topics, especially south of the border, well, south of our border anyways. So, but I don't know if this is a slippery slope or this is they're just saving or trying to cover their ass, or to be honest, it's good that they're doing it pre-production, because to do it in post would be a lot more difficult. Anybody else want to chime in on this? All right. Kembo Trek, what would you like to discuss this week?
There's a lot of good topics this week, but I'm going to go with the Expendables.
Expendables. Yeah, this is very interesting. A lot of tweets flying around the internet here. Big news for fans of the Expendables, as Stallone has lined up a few other big names after all this problems with Bruce Willis not signing, you know, I believe it was for $4 million for 4 days he wanted. Stallone was offering $3 million. I find it kind of interesting now that they're talking more about, they're more open about salaries and stuff like that. For some more of the smarter kind of movie fans are learning more about this. I know Kevin Smith on a recent podcast was talking a lot about the profit from Clerks 2 and how he had to go back to the Weinsteins and do an audit to get about $10 million that he didn't get back. So because of, you know, the internet, social media, we're learning more about this stuff. It's very interesting, but getting a little sidetracked here. Two big names to be in the Expendables 3. Mel Gibson, that name was flying around, so he's confirmed. And also Antonio Banderas. So in this movie, we're going to see Jovovich, Snipes, Chan. I mean, at this point, you know, apart from casting the Pope, you pretty much have every big name celebrity ever in this movie. I'm stoked to see it. The writing in that's probably going to be terrible, but, you know, it's a fanboy movie. Kembo Trek, what do you think about these two big names? And talk also about Willis's reluctancy to not do the movie for $1 million, coming off like a douchebag once again.
Yeah, I mean, I love the casting. You think about it, we're losing Willis, we're losing Chuck Norris, and we're losing Jean-Claude Van Damme, but we're getting all these other great actors like to replace them. I think it's a net gain. You're getting Ford, you're getting Banderas, you're getting Mel Gibson, Jovovich, Snipes, Jackie Chan. It's like, holy crap. And actually, I like that we're kind of getting some new people. Like, what made Chuck Norris's appearance so good is like that it's a one-time thing. Same with Van Damme. Like, I don't want to see the same guys every movie. Obviously, you have your mainstays, Statham, all those guys. So you have like your stable of those four, five guys, then you can bring on all these other people.
And to be honest, Bruce Willis isn't a big loss. You know, like he was good in the first two, but because of the amount of actors in this movie, his loss isn't really going to be a huge thing.
Oh, I don't think so at all. I mean, yeah, we're losing him, but I'd rather see Harrison Ford for the first time in The Expendables than Bruce Willis for the third time. So I think when you like, I like that there's a constant turnover. You have your constants and then you have the turnover because it makes things fresh. And concerning Bruce Willis not wanting to do 4 days for $3 million, we've kind of seen, I mean, we talked about it a couple weeks ago about how he can be kind of an ass and, you know, Stallone's mentioned how he's lazy and all that. So really, it's not surprising. And like I said, I'm actually glad because I'd prefer to see Harrison Ford and, you know, Antonio Banderas than seeing Bruce Willis play Church again.
Anybody else want to chime in?
Wait, what do you mean Jean-Claude's not back? What happens to him?
Isn't he dead? I'm kidding, dude.
He died at the end, but I actually like seeing Keelan Lutz in the next one. He's a pretty good action star too. If you've seen his movie Arena, I think this guy's got potential to be like Gibson's henchman, how Scott Adkins was JCVD's henchman. Keelan Lutz as Gibson's henchman could be pretty good. seeing Gibson in an actual villain role finally in upcoming Machete Kills, we're going to see the possibility of what we might actually see in Expendables 3, which is pretty cool.
It's kind of, and it's cool that he's also going towards kind of the public opinion where he's been vilified for being a bit, you know, anti-Semitic and stuff like that. So he's kind of rolling with the times. And I think that's a great thing.
So guys, does this mean that Chuck Norris is not going to guest star in Expendables 3?
Yeah, no, he's done.
Yeah, he mentioned it was only a one time, like he wasn't going to be back. And I think it makes his appearance that much better.
Yeah,
because it was fun, and you don't like it's not something we're going to do over and over, and it loses its appeal. Like, is he going to have another Chuck Norris saying? So I'm glad that it's just a one off.
He's also limited because of his age. He wasn't able to do much either. So
you're right, Kev Bocek, because I felt that Arnold Schwarzenegger got old very fast in Expendables 2. It was nice to see him in a major bigger role this time, but I don't know. I wasn't really keen on the jokes. And so is he appearing in number 3? I don't remember seeing the name.
Yeah,
he is. Oh, it's too bad.
Yeah, he's in.
Willis as well. I enjoyed him in number 1 and 2, but since he didn't have a bigger role to play, I don't miss him. Let's see if he's gone, you know?
Yeah, now that we've got you on the line, Gallifrey, what would you like to discuss?
I'd like to discuss Marvel article, the Marvel movies. Kevin Feige, Marvel's movies are planned out through to
2020.
Whatever. 2021.
It's pronounced F-Y-E-G-E-E. So Feige.
Feige.
Oh. Not Faggy, dude.
Faggy.
You made me Will, sound man, all homophobic.
I swear to God, I've gone a few weeks, you're just constantly talking about cocks and fags. Come on, dude.
No, you interpret that.
I do not say the word
don't
fag.
Don't say that. It could offend our listeners.
That's true.
Yeah. I apologize for that comment then, but come on, dude.
Well, we're all pro-gay. You have Carp on the cast.
So. Oh, ha, ha.
It's not gay.
Look, just because you and Douchebag Ren want me to be gay, I'm not going to be. So,
with a honey and a middle and some leeway.
What?
I have no, I'm not gonna, no comment.
Yeah, what?
So, not gay, but it's in a three-way, man.
Oh, what about Kevin Feige, old school?
All right, so Marvel Studios has a plan, and Kevin Feige is the man crafting it. And a new feature from Wired, Feige is described as the architect behind the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it's definitely an apt description. He's the man who first came up with the idea to make an interwoven Marvel movie universe that started with Iron Man. And he's the man who saw the dream through to completion after Avengers became one of the biggest movies of all time. It's easy to see how the studio is eager to move forward with new and bigger ideas. The first installment of the Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 2, Iron Man 3, was already released, and the rest of the Phase 2 lineup, Thor the Dark World, Captain America the Winter Soldier, and Guardians of the Galaxy will come to a head in another massive ensemble hero flick, The Avengers Age of Ultron. But that's not all, as Feige has up his sleeve the Marvel Cinematic Universe continuing into Phase 3 with the 2015 release of Ant-Man, and this keeps on going on and on in this article. I can't believe they're actually planning that far out. Well, you know what? Maybe I'm not surprised, but to 2021? I mean, come on. Like, so many things can change.
I'm not surprised. Because he has this list of all these superheroes and each one needs a movie that stands alone by himself. You know, we had Captain America, a single movie. We had Thor, and now there's two. And then there's Captain America 2. And we'll say that each film takes about 2 years to make, maybe. So it's not surprising that he has it planned to up to 2021. I'm very excited for this. And you can see that in the article. It explains that DC and even Warner Brothers are going to try to do this with the Superman and Batman crossover film. Except it's not the Nolan's Batman, necessarily. But
that's not that's for another article.
Well,
we
don't want to spoil anything, but I think we might be discussing that a bit later.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I won't talk about that now. But there's also all these villains that he could use. And it's very exciting to see that, you know, he's going to bring Doctor Strange to life in the article. That's what it says. And so, yeah, I'm not surprised 2021. I hope it follows through because it's a long way away. Like you said, lots can happen. And you know what? What if Fox decides to let go
of
Fantastic Four and Wolverine? Oh, sorry, not Wolverine.
I love it. It's not even X-Men. It's Wolverine. Doesn't matter.
Sorry, he was in my mind. I meant the X-Men. X-Men
you,
and Fantastic
you mean,
Four.
You mean Hugh Jackman.
Okay, whatever. So imagine if he does. we can get Hugh Jackman, I mean Wolverine, into Avengers.
Fuck it, Hugh Jackman is Batman.
Hugh Jackman as Batman as well, why not? And another thing, by the way, best person to play Doctor Strange would be Robert Downey Jr. What do you think?
What? No. No, you can't do that.
All right, I got a question for the panel. Do you think Marvel can sustain this success over 2021? Aren't people going to get sick of these movies?
What about James Bond? Okay, what about Bond? Have people gotten sick of Bond in the past 50 years?
Actually, as long as different directors and writers are taking over, I think it will not be old. I don't think it could get old.
Do you think it's going to get to the point where they're going to have that Batman with the Clooney Batman? You know what I mean? Like, they're going to get that wrong director and just kill the franchise.
No. I don't think it'll get kiddish, though, like childish.
Wait.
There could be a fear that one film would be too dark. I think it could go too dark, but not too light.
Wait. I think there could be crap. Like, we've already seen crap. There was Iron Man 2. That was garbage, but you know,
some people would say Iron Man 3 is worse than 2.
Oh,
that's
no.
You know, so there are things. However, they have a bunch of franchises going on, so you need a lot of failure for the actual Marvel universe to die. You can have individual films that don't do well.
Yeah,
even the Hulk didn't do well either.
Captain America did not do very well.
Apparently, it did actually.
Well, maybe it made money, but a lot of critics say they don't care.
Yeah, but you know,
I don't see Ant-Man doing well at all.
No, but actually, Guardians of the Galaxy to me is the big wild card there. I have no clue how it's gonna do. I mean, I want to see it, but I don't know if other people
want
to see it.
Actually,
either.
I want
that Silver Surfer and all that.
Silver what? Surfer is owned to the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, he's in Fox. Silver
I thought
Surfer.
They got the rights to Silver Surfer.
No, they didn't.
Oh, they refused
because they got Daredevil instead.
Right.
Oh, yay.
You wanted Daredevil?
Daredevil is Marvel, yeah.
I mean, under the current direction with Disney, new Daredevil flick, and I believe Blade is actually coming up free soon.
Yeah. And Ghost Rider, too.
Good reboots.
Ghost Rider as well.
You know who should play Daredevil?
At least 6 years away before they're
allowed. Ben Affleck?
No, Justin Gordon-Levitt.
Justin? Joseph.
Joseph's
twin brother.
Justin Gordon-Levitt should play fucking Daredevil.
He should. It's a good mix. Yeah,
isn't
it works.
He already Robin?
Ah, that's true.
So what?
Stop using the same people. Let's get no names.
Wait, but
how about that guy from SNL?
Wait, but didn't the Human Torch? Isn't he the same guy who plays Captain America?
Human Torch is Fox, so whatever.
Yeah.
Fox got him.
The next Human Torch is actually going to be the black kid from Chronicle.
Actually, guys,
I'm sure your purists are shitting on all sorts. What do you mean? He can't be a black guy. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but Electro's going to be black.
What?
Yeah, it's true. The Kingpin. Electro. Kingpin was black, guys.
So, I mean...
The race doesn't matter.
Yeah. Oh, guys, by the way...
Oh, yeah, you're right. The race
for
doesn't
the purists,
matter.
Yes.
Come on.
Lab a Lone Ranger. Race doesn't matter,
old
right?
Old school, it doesn't matter. Wait, what? Oh, yeah. The Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger. Yeah, that was interesting.
If the races are flipped, like if there's a white Pootie Tang, you know?
Now, for Lone Ranger, you mean when Jackson puts on his Indian face?
Indian is a racist term, sir.
No, I'm Indian, American-Indian, native. Yeah, but guys, they are making crossover movies. Like, I think there's one coming out. I saw a trailer for it. It's got Terrence Howard as War Machine and Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. And I think their daughters get kidnapped. And then Loki is the detective in it. It looks really good.
Did you take them? I think they were taken.
They were taken. That'd be awesome. Neeson pops up. I just mark it. All right.
Yo, Neeson is Doctor Strange. What about that?
That would be excellent, guys. Yeah. That would be beautiful. See?
Stop
beautiful.
Using
I didn't
the
even
same
think of this.
People. That guy is already in.
Who is he?
He's that dude.
He was
Ra's al
Ghul. Whatever. Who cares? He was gorgeous.
Carp. Whoa.
Yep.
He was gorgeous? Carp. You know, we got to throw it to the straight man. Carp. Let's.
Who do we got spot? Left here? We got Crapman and Monuments Man.
Monumentous.
Oh, no. Actually, Brockheimer losing Final Cut. I want to talk about that.
This is very interesting. 1 month after the theatrical release of Disney's Western blockbuster, The Lone Ranger, it's clear the film is a failure for the studio. So far, the film has only pulled in just over $175 million on a budget of $215, though some estimates could be even higher for that in terms of budget. Therefore, Disney, of course, isn't too happy with producer Jerry Bruckheimer, and they're going to be a little bit more cautious with his next big film for the studio, Pirates 5. It's slated to start shooting early next year, and Disney is already restructuring the deal with Bruckheimer, which might result in the producer losing Final Cut privileges. Almost, you know, like they gave him that carte blanche he lost them about $200 million, and now they're kind of limiting him. Even though, you know, Pirates for sure is going to make money. I think that's an obvious. Karp, what do you think about this, them penalizing Bruckheimer? You think it's a good idea when he's using one of his big franchises?
I think this is an example to anybody who says, yeah, we can do it. Just give us all the money and give us all the rights, and we'll give you something that everybody will love. And they didn't. This is Disney basically saying, you screwed up. Go sit in the corner and think about what you did. And this is for everybody else to think about.
So they're using him as like,
he's the martyr. He's the scapegoat on this. Simply put, from now on, that the fact that Disney, the biggest freaking company on the planet for entertainment, did this, all of the companies are going to start considering doing this. You know, it's you screwed up. You're going to, you know, we're going to smack your bottom. We're going to take $200 million away from you. Make a $50 million budget instead. Like they're saying, cutting the budget down to $200 million, that's still an astronomical figure for a movie from $250. So
yeah,
it's not much of a slap in the face. The final director cut, that could be – this could actually either be the downfall of the Pirates, or it could be kind of a rebirth. I'm hoping it's more of a rebirth because the last two Pirates sucked. So we'll see. But I think this is a phenomenal idea by the studio, and I'd love to see all other studios tell – you know, big time directors, if you screw up, we're done with you, you know.
Do you think because of what happened, you know, future big name directors are going to be a lot more difficult for them to get the carte blanche now?
For some, yes. But for guys like Nolan, he's going to get carte blanche forever because even before the Batman trilogy, he did some amazing movies.
But even him, I mean, he can throw a horrible movie. Nobody's perfect,
right? If Interstellar ends up sucking, that could be the end of his career. Bruckheimer's done so well at some points that, like, he finally makes this. Well, it's not really. People say, oh, well, you know, you're saying on your last podcast, oh, Ranger wasn't sold properly, and, you know, but I'm hearing from other people that The Lone Ranger was exactly what it was, a steaming pile of crap that they show to you on TV.
Yeah, Will, you were saying?
Yes, what I don't get is that the article says Bruckheimer is denied final cut. I don't understand why it would be Bruckheimer. Isn't the director that gets final cut? Why is Bruckheimer, won't it be Gore Verbinski who would be denied final cut?
Yeah, but isn't, I mean, I don't know. I think maybe the producer would get the final
cut. No, he doesn't get because usually final cut, that term is used between, it's the producer denying it of the director. So that makes that means that the director itself never had final cut, and it was always up to Bruckheimer.
Yeah, it's very possible. Maybe he's a power.
So that means I kind of get it that way. Okay, what I was gonna say is that I've never seen a time when a director was denied final cut and it looked better. I've never seen that. Every single time I see like a director's version of a film, it always looks better. The director's cut is always better. So I don't really know how it's gonna turn out. Yeah.
All right, what do we have left? It's Monuments Men.
And Batman.
Pretty much, yeah. There you go. Hey, you got the Batman again.
Yeah, okay, go for it.
All right, so it's been an oddly busy weekend on the rumor mill regarding Batman versus Superman. First, the Latino Review reports, according to a new ebook, Warner Brothers Pictures wants Christian Bale to reprise his role. In fact, they're desperate enough that they might even offer him $50 million to do so. Equal gossip news, they're also talking about Orlando Bloom being the older Batman for the Batman versus Superman. Now, I know we've been talking a lot of Batman. Karp's been kind of ragging on us because we've been going like 3 months straight on Batman.
Yeah, but Karp's a loser, so it doesn't matter.
Wow, okay. But the story...
You're going
down,
young man.
All right, so Will, let's get your thoughts on this. You know, I don't know what Bale would do. I think he's the type of guy he'd stick to his guns and he wouldn't do another one, even if they offered him 50, but 50's a lot of money. Bloom, on the other hand, I don't see that as too bad of an idea either. Let's get your thoughts on the two rumors here.
Firstly, Bloom, I do not want Bloom as, first of all, older Batman, I don't see it. He doesn't have the grizzled thing. Like when they were talking about
Josh. But if he bulks up a bit?
Not even then, it doesn't work. He has a pretty boy face. Like Josh Brolin, we'll say he's not like the super handsome guy, but he at least had the physique and physicality for that kind of role that they're going for. Bloom is a step back.
Apart from his facial features, do you think he could pull it off acting wise?
Yeah, I think he's a good actor. Actually, surprisingly, he's okay. But it's just his features, and I've never seen him play a mature role. I think he could do well because he is a good actor. But, like, usually I know he's graphic because I hate him in films, and he's supposed to be hated. So that, to me, tells me that he's doing something right. But as to play Batman, I'm not sure. And what we're going... Oh, Christian Bale. Bale... But what's interesting is that Bale said he wouldn't do it only because the director wasn't doing it either. But what's cool here is that Nolan's actually sticking to this. So maybe, like, it's maybe this could help Bale. I don't know. This could be an extra thing for Bale. Not necessarily the money, more the fact that...
I think he's got 50 million reasons to
Yeah. No, but I'm just... No, but Bale is way cooler than any guy's thing. Like to him, money is not as big an object. Sure, I mean, you know, there's an offer you can't refuse, right?
Well, that's it. Money isn't an object unless it's 50
unless
million.
It's 50 million, yeah, which, by the way, would be what they gave...
Nicholson.
Not Nicholson. But I'm talking about Robert Downey Jr. for the Avengers.
Okay.
Yeah. There's that, but I think it's more him being the professional that he is. I think what's more seducing about this offer is that Nolan is still there and how much he's involved with this. That could be the big defining factor. I personally don't want Bale. Not in this role anyways. I like this idea of having the grizzled, older, I guess maybe bulkier kind of guy. And, I don't know, Bale didn't really do it. Also, I was never a fan of Bale's bat voice. So that's that. I like the idea of seeing something new, a different take on it.
You know what? I'll accept your opinion because we need to
move on. Wait, just one thing. But wouldn't this mean that if he's Batman, doesn't mean that the DC Universe is already connected from, like, the get-go? That's what I mean, right?
I'm sure they can figure that
out. Yeah, okay.
I mean, you know, when you got 50 million reasons to motivate somebody, I'm sure you can get a writer that could be smart enough to tie everything together. Let's get into the movie review of the week. And Kebo Chuck and I just saw it, but a couple hours ago, I believe Will and Gallifrey saw it as well. Elysium. Kebo Chuck, let's get your thoughts first.
Since a lot of people are reviewing it, I won't take too much time. On the whole, I really, really enjoyed the movie. I really like the picture it painted of a kind of like, not an apocalyptic, but an Earth of the future. Like, I really like the visuals we got with, you know, on Earth. I thought they did a good job of...
Kev, the word you're looking for is dystopian future.
There you go, dystopian. Like, I really liked the way they presented it. It felt realistic. It wasn't like, I don't know, it worked for me. I really, really liked the visuals on the actual Elysium. I thought they did an amazing job. I liked how we saw the curvature of it. I love seeing all those beautiful buildings and beautiful scenery. Like, visually, it's one of the best movies I've seen in a long time. So I really like how they kind of showed that contrast between, you know, how it is on Elysium and how it is on Earth. And, I don't know, it works so well in terms of visuals. The story was, I enjoyed the story. I thought it was a good story. You're not getting super, super deep with it, but I thought they did a good job of telling an interesting story. And the action was good, but it wasn't over the top. It wasn't just explosions everywhere. I thought Matt Damon did a good job. Jodie Foster did a great job. So, you know, overall, I really liked it. Just a couple quick negative things. I guess the only really big thing I would discuss is the shaky cam, which, I mean, you were there with me. You saw how absolutely horrible it was. Like, it came to the point where the fight scenes were almost unwatchable. So I really wish they'd get away from that. And I wish we would have saw a bit more of Elysium and life in there, because I don't know. I found it really, really interesting. But overall, solid, solid movie.
What would you give it?
I would give it... I'm taking a full point off for the shaky cam because it was really bad. So I will give it 8 Matt Damon chiseled bodies on 10.
I'm telling you, man, this show is we're going to have a gay pride episode at this point. I'm going to talk about my thoughts quickly. I agree. Actually, I thought the shaky cam made the two last fight scenes completely unwatchable. And there was no reason to do it. Apart from utter laziness, because they could have shot that without shaky cam and it would have been fine. That really disappointed me. I do agree with the visuals as well, especially seeing it on an IMAX screen. The sound was fantastic. The visuals were fantastic. That made a lot of the movie for me. Damon, with a simple script, did a good job. Jodie Foster, as one of the antagonists, did a great job too. Wasn't a big fan of the main antagonist, who kind of plays the government agent that's following Damon throughout most of the movie, South African kind of guy. not too big a fan of his. Again, the shaky cam was just ridiculous. And I found the characters were very black and white. You know, you've got the government people are just, you know, there was just no depth to the characters I found. It's just very anti, you know, he's just very white and black kind of characters. The good people living on Earth and the evil rich people living on Elysium. But overall, I did enjoy it, but I would drop a lot of points for the lack of depth of characters and the shaky cam. I'd give it a 7. 7 RoboCop body frames out of 10.
There you go.
Did you guys find it too preachy?
No.
No.
No, not at all.
Wait a minute. What was that rating you gave it again?
7 RoboCop frame body frames out of 10.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Will, go ahead.
I'm surprised. I was a nay on this film because, you know, director of District 9, I didn't get why District 9 was liked so much. I'm at a mix with Neil Blomkamp because, see, he likes to give you this gritty realism, kind of dystopian in the future. But what I dislike is that his idea of realism and how to convey it is very much off. See, he thinks that if it looks really, really real and you do like a documentary footage, it's going to give an added realistic feature to it. Kind of. But it doesn't, it totally takes the person out of it, because then it makes the person realize that all they're watching is a movie. It's been filmed, you know, by someone running around. If you just leave a scene go, and you have it nice and, I guess, steady, and you don't give as many cuts, then what happens is that the viewer actually gets to see time pass by, and that actually makes it much more realistic, much more involving in it. So that's my thing. I think the director has a very odd sense of what realism is in the movies. He thinks it's mostly visual. Now, the film is gorgeous visually. What I loved the most about it was the details. I love this. I adore it. I think that all together makes the movie very, very much worthwhile. And I do like the villain, too. I found the accent kind of tough. I didn't know where it was from. It was kind of odd and distracting. And it's like South Africa of the future, because South African is not that... It was a weird accent. So, I don't know. Kind of odd. Also, maybe Goffrey's going to say this, but in facial reconstruction, how do you get hair back? Anyways, that was odd. But you know, whatever. We'll let it pass.
Oh my god, that scene.
What would you give it, man?
I give it 8.5 facial reconstructions out of 10.
All right, Gallifrey, let's get your thoughts.
I didn't like the movie. I really didn't like the movie. I felt that.
All right,
this...
Carp, let's get. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Well then,
I felt, you guys, that this was just trying to be so serious, sending me a message, and I just wasn't having fun. I want to watch a movie where I could just have fun, you know, be immersed in this new futuristic sci-fi world. And I felt that the message they were trying to send to me was just so, like you said, old school, so black and white. People on Earth are good, and all the people in the, what's it called, Elysium are bad. Yeah, I don't care. And also, I cannot watch a film where the protagonist sucks. Matt Damon's character is not a hero. I'm sorry. From beginning to end, I don't feel like he had a purpose. He wanted to save the world. No, he didn't. He was a shitty person because he seemed reluctant. He's like a reluctant hero, and that for me is not a quality that I like in my protagonist. I prefer.
Isn't that nice though? That it's more. He was thinking more about self-preservation. It's something different.
He's selfish. Heroes, protagonists, are not supposed to be selfish. He doesn't make it happen. It's just circumstances led to these things, and it just happens that he's the one. You know what I mean? I don't know if you get that feeling when you were watching it, but he didn't choose to do any of those things. It's just that it's the only option or whatever. And
yeah.
And then the last second, he does something good. Not cool. The villain is one-dimensional. I don't care for villains that are one-dimensional. I want my villains to be... like, evil, of course, evil. No doubt about it, he's evil. But there's layers to him. I love villains with lots of layers. And this guy, South African guy, he was only out for blood. You know, he was crazy. They even said that he was psychotic with, like, you know, aggressive tendencies and stuff. And I felt that even he was even more crazy once he got into that facial reconstruction business. And he seemed like as though it healed his mental disability or something and made it more prominent. I thought I was fearing for that. That's what I felt when watching that scene. And also, yeah, the facial reconstruction scene, it grew his facial hair. Sorry, that's really weird. It made him more handsome, but facial hair? Yeah, I don't think so. Everything is just so convenient in this film. I didn't care for that. Everything was made so easy.
How much do you give it on 10?
On 10? Oh, please. 4. It was boring. It was boring.
Wow.
Hey, she has her opinion.
It gets points. Those 4 points was how beautiful it looked. That's it.
Oh, guys, there is awesome third-person shooting in this. Like Neil Blomkamp should, like, if everybody want to make a Gears of War movie, this is your director. Very, very solid interpretation of that kind of action.
Yeah. Carp, let's get your thoughts.
Matt Damon. I don't know. You guys are crapping on all the wrong parts and agreeing with the right parts. The shaky cam. Okay, the fight between Matt Damon and Kruger, who, by the way, Kruger
Matt Damon.
An awesome character. The Charlotte Copley's character was exactly the bloodthirsty villain he was supposed to be. The fight between them, where it goes from shaky cam to like a stop 180 camera rotating scene. That pissed me off. There was a little too much shake cam. Visually, it was beautiful. The storyline was a little bit, could have been a little more depth to it. Could have been better, obviously. I liked it. It's a 7 out of 10 for me.
All right, let's get into the weekend box office for this week. So, Carp, number one was Elysium this week, $29.8 million for a budget of $115. I don't think they're too happy about these results.
Packed weekend, my friend. Elysium, Were the Millers, Planes, Percy Jackson. You're still dealing with the Wolverine, even the Smurfs on a level and Two Guns. It's, you know, this was a packed weekend to release something. I think if this had come out when it was a not so busy weekend, maybe just The Conjuring came out, it would have been a lot better. Their foreign numbers are going to be phenomenal, though. Yeah. I guarantee you this is going to make at least $300-400 million by the end of its North American / world run before, you know, it starts dropping off. So
I was going to say the same thing with Carp. This movie's going to make a lot of bank on the international markets. And in the end, I think it'll make them a solid profit, because 115's not terrible for a budget.
And especially for the visuals, I'm surprised it was that low.
Yeah, same here, because they really fleshed out the visuals of the world. I could have easily seen this being about a 150 budget movie.
Yeah, Where the Millers came in number two with $26.4 million. I'm sure they're very happy with that number with a budget of 37. Although most of the revenue will be domestic, it'll definitely make a bit of profit, in my opinion. Planes came in at number three with $22.2 million. Animated movie, that's not too good. Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, debuted with $14.4 million. I think it's just sign of the times, like Carp said, massively saturated market. Two Guns, number five, with $11.2 million. It's got a total domestic of $48 million. Smurfs 2 came in at $9.3 million. It's got a total domestic of $46 million. Budget of $105, not too good for them. At number seven, The Wolverine came in with another $8 million. It's got a total domestic of $112. At number eight, The Conjuring racked in another $6.6 million. For a budget of $20 million, it's got a total domestic of $120 million. I'm sure they're very happy with those numbers. Number nine, Despicable Me 2, racked in another $5.9 million with a total domestic gross of $338 million. And rounding off the top 10, Grown Ups 2 with $3.6 million. Let's get into the upcoming movies. Upcoming movies for this weekend. We've got a couple. First one I'm going to play, I know it's not going to be the big one, but because I'm a huge technology fan, we're going to get into the trailer for Jobs.
Steve, it takes guts to drop out like you did.
Higher education comes at the expense of experience.
Boss!
What are you working on?
It's a computer terminal that hooks up to the TV for the display.
Steve?
Wow. These are state of the art. Nobody's making anything like this.
All right. Okay.
Welcome to Apple Computer.
Is this everything?
Startup.
I think we should start with around 90 grand.
Could you repeat that?
If you'll have me aboard. Trust me on my
INDEPENDENT. Apple Incorporated went public this morning. Chasing dreams since I was 14.
We gotta make the small things unforgettable.
Typeface isn't a pressing issue. Get out.
He's trying to start a war with IBM.
It's
Steve's been doing the impossible ever since he was in a garage.
I'm trying to build an apple, and they're taking it away from me?
If you keep heading down this path, I will not protect you.
It's a blatant ripoff.
I'm gonna sue you for every cent!
You are your own worst enemy.
The board is unanimous. Steve will no longer be involved in this company.
10 years after Steve Jobs' departure, the future of Apple Computer is in jeopardy.
In life, you only get to do so many things.
We're gonna make Apple cool again.
Here's to the crazy ones. The misfits. The rebels. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
Jobs coming out this weekend. Being a huge technologist, I am really excited to see it. Even though I'm not a huge Apple fan, you know, when Jobs passed away, the first person that we could think of that could do a movie like this, a biopic, was Ashton Kutcher, because he looks literally exactly like him. If you see some of the scenes in the trailer that's going to be in the show notes, actually he gets the voice down pretty well around the 1 minute mark when he's talking about typeface there. I was really impressed. Yes, I know Kutcher is kind of typecasted as being the idiot, but you know, like, he's done movies like Butterfly Effect. He can do the serious role, and I really hope people give him a shot, watch the movie, and take it for what it is instead of, you know, typecasting him too quickly. I'm kind of anxious to see this movie. You're going to throw it to the panel. We'll start with Heavyset. Yay or nay?
I am a yay on this one. I'm a big Apple fan ever since I started working with computers and I learned graphic design in school, even though I wasn't that great at it. Absolutely love Apple. Have an iPhone, and I want to definitely yay on this. Want to see the movie.
Carp, let's get your thoughts. You're a nay.
I'm a nay. Just listening to the trailer, it still sounds like Kelso to me. I know he's done other things, and I know you're saying he's typecasted, but to me, he's not the right person for the role. There are similarities between young Steve Jobs and him right now, but I don't see it being that great. Also, that gave me a great idea how he says he was going to sue everyone, because Apple pretty much sues everyone. So
there you go. Well, you get the, you know, it's not a documentary, but it's, you know, it's enhanced for the movie audience. But I'm still interested to see the kind of the backstory on this whole, you know, because there was Pirates of Silicon Valley, but it's more of a TV movie. So throw it to Will. Let's get your thoughts.
Funny you mentioned Pirates of Silicon Valley. I actually saw that film. And having seen it, I don't really need to see this one. I don't feel it'll add anything more to it. So nay for me.
Gallifrey.
I would say yay. I don't mind Ashton Kutcher. I've enjoyed his performance in Butterfly Effect, and so I would watch this film. I think it's interesting, especially since it's supposed to show another story about Steve Jobs. Hopefully, some of it is true. I'm interested.
Yeah, well, you know, it's based on true events.
I mean, this is a time when we actually know a lot about the character. It'll be easier for fans to call bullshit if ever they do stuff like that.
But again, you know, for the fans that do, I think that's unfair. It's not meant to be a documentary. It's just like the movie on Facebook. It's you know, it's based on true events, but it's been changed a bit for to entertain the audience.
For drama reasons.
And I'm okay with that. So yeah, I don't mind. I'm interested. I want to see how go from this. And you know what, in that trailer there was a picture drawn, and I remember that version of Apple very much. It's nostalgic for me. It's very cool.
Oh, by the way, spoilers for everybody, he dies at the end.
Oh god.
What a like a douchebag. Why would you do that?
Yeah. People are still mourning his death, you know. People love him
too soon. Kebo Trek, let's get your thoughts, man.
Not too much to say. If anything, it would be a rental for me, but nay on seeing it in theater.
Yeah, it was split on Jobs. I think this is going to be a little different. Kick Ass 2 out this week. Let's play the trailer and get your thoughts.
Ready to go again?
What do you want me to do?
Hit me.
You're a 15-year-old. What the hell?
Act like a bitch, get slapped like a bitch.
Oh, God.
Oh, take your tampon out, Dave.
They may wear costumes, but it isn't Halloween. They're real-life superheroes.
Me and Hit Girl were training every day. There were more and more people joining us every night.
Colonel Stars and Stripes, reporting for duty.
try to have fun. Otherwise, what's the point?
A world full of superheroes, huh? Where do they get a load of me?
I am gonna make Kick-Ass pay for what he did to my dad. Henceforth, I'll be known as the motherfucker. I'm building an evil army.
Who is this guy?
He's claiming to be the world's first real supervillain.
What an asshole.
We're putting an end to this, costume freak! If they're wearing a mask, they're getting detained!
Promise me that you will never dress up in that outfit again.
Kick-Ass isn't a costume. It's who you really are. My daddy made me promise I'd never stop defending this city. I'm prepared for anything.
We gotta make this right.
The anticipation's killing me.
What's the party?
There's no room for punks and suits. Just real heroes. Who can really kick ass.
Game on, cocksuckers!
We're the good guys.
We're the dead guys.
Schwanz, we
got... Ow! Jesus!
Yeah, there's a dog on your balls.
This is very much a fanboy movie. I really enjoyed the first one. You know, it's not for... To me, I think the only issue is it's not geared towards a general audience, in my opinion. It is kind of a niche... It's more appealing to the kind of smarter movie fans, I find. And that's why I think maybe it didn't do so great at the box office for the first one. I hope it does better, and I hope it gets a lot of good buzz. Let's throw this one to Kevbo Trek.
Yeah, I think it could possibly be the best movie of the year. So this is an absolute 1,000% nay for me. Yeah, yay for me.
Nay.
I don't want to see this.
Best movie? No way I'm going to
see it. Looks like the best movie ever made. I'm never going to fucking watch it.
No, yeah, there's no way I'm not seeing this movie. It just I remember when I saw the first one and just seeing like the stuff Hit Girl was doing, I was like, this is awesome. So 1,000,000% yay for me.
Carp.
Believe Daniel Bryan puts his best in the WWE? Yes. 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 This movie looks amazing. If they've lifted half the images from the comic book, this is going to be ultra violence at its best. Expect something very violent, very bloody. You know, this is a guy flick. This is Expendables superheroes, basically. So
Expendable teen superheroes.
Almost. I mean, it's ridiculous. Jim Carrey as Colonel Stars and Stripes. They actually kind of put two characters together for his character in the movie. But I'm looking forward to seeing him as, like, if it's the same type of character, I believe he's an ex-mafia guy who, after some bad shit goes down, he's like, screw this, I'm going to be a superhero. So I want to see how he does, too.
I find it's a sad thing, though, that he's now distancing himself from the movie. I think it's a bit of a cop-out, and it also goes to show that it's probably going to be extremely violent, so that's kind of a good thing. Will, let's get your thoughts here.
If they, like,
go ahead.
They pull off some of the images, especially the stuff with the motherfucker from the comic, oh, holy shit, dude. It is. I can see why Carrie isn't supporting it after a certain thing that happened in the U.S. there. Like,
yeah.
You know, if they do that. I don't think they will. I don't think it'd be very kosher nowadays, but you never know. This is a hard R for sure.
Wait, guys, but Red Band means that they could have shown whatever they want to in the trailer, right? Or no?
Yes.
So they could show, like, language, boobs, swearing, and stuff.
So then why didn't we see any of the stuff that, like, you guys are so sold on? That we actually are not sure is in the movie.
It might just be too much for the movie. Like, I think Carp mentioned one or two of the things that happened. And, like, it's not that they don't want to show it in the trailer. It's that they might not want to put it in the movie because it would be a little too extreme.
But knowing that, do you guys still want to watch it just as much?
Absolutely.
Have you read Kick-Ass 2, Will?
No, I have not.
Yeah, I suggest reading it. Trust
no,
me.
No, I'm Mark Miller is hit or miss. I don't know. It's excessive.
This is a hit, my friend. So.
I get fed up of Mark Miller's Kick-Ass. It's just too much. There's no, like, I don't know. When Old School said that this is more for brains, I disagree. I think this actually has very little brains involved. Mark Miller is known for doing that, which science is fun, like in his Ultimates run, which I liked. Kick-Ass is just a bit too much. Like, I don't care anymore. I'm desensitized to it.
So that's an A for you?
A for me.
Gallifrey, let's get your thoughts.
I had never seen Kick-Ass 1, so I have no interest in seeing the sequel. And it's a nay for me. But I think it's going to make a lot of money, because after Carrie bashed it, people are going to be curious about how violent this film is going to be.
Heavy year, Nick.
I'm 100% yay. I remember when the first one came out, I really wasn't that interested. And then I think there was a triple feature at a drive-in, and it was the last movie playing. I'm like,
drive-in. Oh. Wow.
Yeah, we have awesome. We have them around here. It's
you have drive-ins? Yeah. Wow.
We have
a couple.
There's here. A good two in my area, and the one in particular. I know, like I said, it was doing triple feature, and I was like, why not triple feature, same price? And that was the last movie, and that's the only movie I remember playing. I do not remember the other two.
All right, let's check out what's coming out on DVD.
You know who I am?
I've seen you before. You're the asshole on TV.
Kebo Trek, what's new and exciting this week in the world of DVDs?
It seems like ever since I started taking over this segment, there's nothing ever out. The one that immediately comes to mind, I guess, is Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah, I mean, that looks all right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's starring Butler, Eckhart, and Freeman, but I don't know. It didn't...
But, I mean, that's a watchable DVD.
I guess. It's your typical summer kind of popcorn flick. Reviews were kind of in that, but I guess, you know, if you have nothing to do on a lazy Tuesday, it'd be a good movie to watch. And,
guys, that was an awesome movie.
Was it?
I'll agree with Will on that one. Yeah, it was an awesome movie.
It was great. It was like a 90s movie all over again. I had a lot of fun with that. And it was like Gerard Butler finally, like, after all these years, we knew he could be kick-ass since we saw him as King Leonidas, and he actually was able to confirm that once more, and I to me, that was great. That's all I needed.
I think my issue is that I wanted the White House to fall. Stay falling.
That's the...
Yeah, good luck with that.
That's the other movie. That's the other White House movie.
But, I mean, other than that, we have, for Keith, he would be a big fan of The Big Wedding.
Who's Keith?
Oh, sorry. For Mr. Old School, he'd be a big fan of The Big Wedding. I know how he loves his kind of romantic comedies. So there'd be that for...
Yeah.
That for him. And last but not least, of course, is Lost and Found in our media with Jamie Kennedy, which is something we all have to see.
Hey, you're missing one. He's got your favorite actor ever, Mr. LaBeouf.
Oh, God.
Which film is that?
The Company You Keep, Robert Redford.
He's still acting?
Shia LaBeouf. Robert Redford's going to be the next Captain America.
I try to avoid anything with
he's
Shia
gonna
LaBeouf.
He's going to be in the next Captain America.
That's what I said.
Oh, I heard he's going to be the next Captain America.
No, he's going to be in the next Captain America.
Oh, I see.
I mean, unless he's, like, ancient.
Hey, he could play, I don't know, who knows, whatever.
Hey, if we're going to 2021, they could do a super old Captain America.
Should be good.
There you go. Let's get into Netflix for this week. And yeah, like the DVDs, not a lot. On the American side, Fringe and Burn Notice new seasons coming out. In terms of movies, on the U.S. side, Amityville Horror, I guess if you're into that kind of stuff. Antiviral as well.
That's good by the way. Antiviral is very good stuff.
Yeah, I've been wanting to see that. That's Soderbergh's kid. It's got to be a good
one. Yeah, I will. Wait. Cronenberg is not, like, all perfect.
Well, Cronenberg's pretty damn impressive.
He's pretty damn impressive, yes. But, like, Existence and stuff like that, Cosmopolis, no, I'm not sure.
Still.
Yeah, Erased as well. That seems all right. On the Canadian side, we've got Digimon.
The movie? Digimon the movie?
Ooh. I don't know. It's probably a cartel. We got Hostel Part 3. Carp, are you into the Hostel movies?
Yeah, I've seen 1, 2, and 3. 3 is an interesting take. It's they're not in Eastern Europe anymore. They're actually in Vegas. So it's a big change from the first setting, but it's your torture porn.
Are they better or worse than the Saw movies?
They're better in some cases, but they're worse in other things. It's like... They're interchangeable in certain parts. I'm sure if you took the best of both movies and put them together, it'd be the ultimate torture porn movie ever made. Yeah,
that's a project for the weekend.
I think the U.S. has it edged out this week because there's not a lot.
I think the U.S. has it because of Burn Notice. It stars the chin, the man, chin.
Yeah, it
that's
does.
That's all that matters.
That's right.
There you go.
For those who don't know, that's Bruce Campbell, guys. Just letting you know.
All right. Let's get into Carp's Bargain Bin.
I love sluts. They're the best. They're so much easier than all the rest. I love sluts. I love whores. I love tramps. I love skeezers. I love sluts.
I love sluts. Carp, what do you got for us this week?
I told
week?
You that's
got
to change, by the way.
Hey, I'm waiting for a new intro. So until you give me one, I love sluts is staying there.
This week, what I popped in, $4 from Videotron used, Nazis at the center of the earth.
What the hell is that?
It's by the wonderful people from the Asylum, the folks who brought you Titanic 2 and Sharknado.
And Sharknado, yeah.
Sharknado, it's got a vicious cyclone. A vicious cyclone.
I have to watch Sharknado.
Sharknado was great, by the way.
It was awesome. So, Nazis at the center of the earth. Quick, we'll use the plot summary from IMDb. Researchers in Antarctica are abducted by a team of mass stormtroopers. They are dragged deep underground to a hidden continent in the center of the earth. Here, Nazi survivors, their bodies, a horrifying patchwork of decaying and regenerated flesh, are planning the revival of the Third Reich. This is more wonderful cheesiness. Like, it's got a robot Hitler. I mean, I don't know what else I could say. It's got a robot Hitler. It's got a Nazi UFO ship. It has living zombies who are patchwork of other Antarctic crews that they've, like, taken body parts from. You could tell when there's heavy green screen. It's just B-movie wonderfulness at its best. So,
Do you think these Asylum guys are, like, the new de facto for super awesome cheesy movies now? It seems like...
I think they're trying to take over Troma's bit of, like, Troma being the hardcore B-movie guys. I think they're trying to take that over. And they have, unfortunately, like, Troma I love. I love everything Troma. But these guys are very hit and miss. I mean, 10 years, 150 movies. You know, I haven't seen Titanic 2. I heard you have, though.
Yeah, so, it's pretty brutal.
But, I mean, if I'm expecting a cheesy, wonderful, like, something full of cheese and B-movie goodness, am I going to enjoy it?
No.
Okay.
No, it's just horrible.
Like they did
Titanic 2 without Leo? That's not a movie.
No. You have no clue what that
Titanic 2
is.
Period is not a movie.
Like in Pacific Rim came out, a week later they had Atlantic Rim. And it was so bad. So I mean the thing is with the Asylum, they're hit or miss.
Hey wait, Carp, have you watched
this was
Do you think Sharknado is like their number one hit?
Sharknado,
I know
actually
of...
no, they released like a rom com or something, what I heard a week later. And that was their new highest-rated TV movie of all time.
Wait, but did you watch Iron Skies?
Yeah, I actually went to Cinema Park to watch it. It's almost a ripoff of Iron Sky.
But, okay, which one's better?
Iron Sky was better because you can't tell the cheesiness of the graphics. And the only reason this could maybe be above it is because it's got Jake Busey and a robot Hitler.
Who's Jake Busey, by the way?
That would be Gary Busey's son. The kid who blows up the spaceship in Contact?
Nope, didn't watch it.
Really? Anyways, you don't know who Jake Busey is?
Nope.
Oh,
was he in Sharknado?
Starship Troopers. He's the one who freaks out and gives the job back to Casper Van Dien.
No. You know what?
The question is, how shit does your career have to be for Tara Reid to be a star of Sharknado?
Yeah, but John Hurt too, guys.
Ian Ziering. From
90210. Yeah, I saw that. That's awesome.
So you got to watch Sharknado. But for Nazis at the Center of the Earth, if you're looking for something B-movie cheesy wonderfulness, it's a solid 8 out of 10 for the B-movie cheesiness. If you're trying to watch a serious film ever, it's a 1 out of 10 for you. But you got to be in the mood for something like, you know, funny. And the gore was surprisingly well done, too. For the budget these guys have, their gore was really well done.
All right, let's get into the list. Actually, I was going to say quickly, I saw that tennis movie.
Oh, Balls Out?
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah. It was good.
It was enjoyable. So.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. All right, let's close the show with plugs and final thoughts. We'll start with Carp.
Plugs, let's see. StableWars.com, the SummerSlam pay-per-view will be up. So play, you could possibly win a DVD. New seasons are also starting up all the time. We're always looking for new members. I catch me on Twitter, Killer Carp Diem. And that's about it.
Heavy Set, plugs, final thoughts.
Same old, same old. You can find me at HeavySet330 on Twitter and still looking for people for the NFL Easy Picks, Picks League, and Fantasy Football League. Hit me up and we'll add you. I want to get people in and drafted by Labor Day. So if you want to join, I mean, I'm surrounded by Canadians right now, so I'm probably on the out.
Hey, Carp, if you help me out, could you help me?
I was actually
going
to finally rejoin Fantasy Football. I'm actually heading down to Baltimore in November to watch a Ravens game, which is pretty awesome. So,
we should have an old schools at the movies team. And Carp's going to headline it. Ah, so we'll be in there.
The Carp Sluts.
The Carp I Love Sluts team. All right, Kebo Trek, let's get your ICQ and final thoughts.
As usual, not much to say. Let's
get your ICQ and final thoughts.
My ICQ is Kevin the Wrench.
All right, final thoughts.
If you want to see a great movie visually, go see Elysium.
If you want to get a fucking headache with all the shaky cam, go see Elysium. Will, let's get your plugs and final thoughts.
If you want to see an awesome movie, watch Once Upon a Time in Mexico. I just rewatched it with Gallifrey, and it's an awesome, awesome film. Lots of fun. Also, on a final note, just because we're very PG today, I'll leave the audience with this note. On a scale of 1 to 10, what was the age of Michael Jackson's last boyfriend?
Ah!
Your mother?
Wow.
You're horrible.
This show has reached a new low. Gallifrey, let's get your final thoughts.
I didn't get to say this last week because I totally forgot. But guess what, guys? There's a new doctor announced. It's Peter Capaldi. Yay!
Nobody knows who that guy is.
I'm glad you brought that up because you want to talk about people in the same universe and how conflicting that is.
Oh, yeah.
Peter Capaldi was also in a previous episode, Karen Gillian, before she became a companion. She was in another episode. Martha, before she was a companion, she was in another episode. So now what?
Not to mention that Capaldi was on Torchwood, so there's a lot of crossover and stuff. We're supposed to assume he's two different people then.
Three different people.
Well, when you're rewatching Doctor Who, you'll be like, oh, that's the 12th Doctor right there in Fires of Pompeii. Anyway, yay, new doctor.
All right. So on that note, for Gallifrey, Will, Heavyset, Carp, Kebo Trek, this is Old School. Thank you very much for listening. We're going to end on the second week of Chick Flick Trailers. This is the honest trailer of Titanic.
Daddy, it's a ship.
Titanic 3D. 3D so real you can actually feel James Cameron stealing money from your pocket. A film so bloated you can honestly just skip the first half hour. Don't worry, there's still like 3 hours left to go. Based on the tragedy that spawned thousands of heartbreaking true stories comes this fake one. Jack is an unrealistically sexy peasant. And Rose is a first-class suicidal pair of boots. Together, their undying love made James Cameron filthy f***ing rich. Remember the romance that encouraged a generation to round second base in the back of a movie theater. Remember the action of the greatest game of human Plinko. Remember the excitement of PG-13 boobs. Now, in James Cameron-approved 3D.
Was the most erotic moment of my life.
So brace yourself for a whole new generation of douchebags screaming.
I'm the king of the world!
And that stupid f***ing song that briefly tricked you into thinking Celine Dion was hot. Good luck getting that out of your head. From the Academy Award winner for Best Editing comes 3.5 hours of establishing shots. Rich people eating. And waving. More waving. And even more waving. Witness the eternal love that ends because one piece of driftwood cannot hold two people. Seriously, that's a huge piece of wood. They could have both fit on it. Or they could have at least just taken turns in the water. Is it just me, or did he not have to die? Starring Leonardo da Vinci, Bruce, the entire estate of Downton Abbey, and Bill Pullman, or Paxton. Titanic 3D. Spoiler alert, they still drown.
Slamming your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge. Breaking down the week's news and rumors. The Spanish Announce Table. We'll be right back.
TopNetwork.com.
A small little request for maybe the next time I'm on. No more fucking Batman.
Oh, we got more Batman for you.
I mean, I see it now, but it's just so continual. You guys
three need to, episodes of Batman in a row.
You like you do the 3 months of Batman and then add another week of it at the end.
Of this, you know what? We should do another Batman episode.
It was a couple of years ago. Crying Giants fan got me. The Giants are gonna be in the Super Bowl. Like some 5-year-old kid. I'm like, should I laugh? Yeah, I'm gonna laugh. He's like, fuck you, this is my fucking, this is alley rhubarb, I can take the fucking rhubarb if I want to fucking take this rhubarb. Go in your house, you fucking fat bitch. Bah, fuck you.
Must watch first trailer for George Clooney's Monumentous Men. Monuments Men. Actually, that's the last one, right? Okay.
Monumentous Men.
I actually prefer that title, it's better. Jesus. 1 month after the
Matt Damon.